I'm Eileen, and I'll be reading from People Magazine, March 30th and April 6th, 2026. Stand By Me turns 40. Standing Together. For Will Wheaton, Jerry O'Connell, Corey Feldman, revisiting their classic coming-of-age film is a chance to reconnect and reflect on those they've lost. By Jack Smart. Corey Feldman, Jerry O'Connell, and Will Wheaton are coming of age again to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Stand By Me. The actors embarked on a three-stop movie theater tour last December, sharing classic film directed by Rob Reiner with generations of fans and reconnecting for the first time in many years. "We were on this tour bus like a rock and roll tour," says Feldman, 54, who played hot-headed Teddy. Between tour stops, he was treated at O'Connell and Wheaton's insistence to his first ever truck stop fast food. "It was us, and we were living the Stand By Me life. It was fun." This month, they're taking the tour nationwide. For Wheaton, 53, who played the film's sensitive narrator, Gordy, the screenings are a healing experience after a troubled childhood. "I've met thousands of people who have said I was Gordy," he says. "Fans at meet and greets tell me how it was so important to them that they felt seen." And O'Connell, 52, who has shown up at the events in the same striped shirt as his goofball character, Vern, and handed out combs and cherry-flavored Pez, Vern's essential items, to adoring audience members, says it all, an exercise in reversion. "Isn't it funny how we all fell into basically who we were when we were 11 and 12 and 13, he asks his two co-stars. "We immediately became those people." Released in theaters on August 26, 1986, Stand By Me, which was adapted by Reynold Gideon and Bruce A. Evans from a Stephen King novella, The Body, centers on four pals, Gordy, Teddy, Vern, and Chris, River Phoenix, in 1959 Oregon, on a quest along train tracks to find the body of another boy. King, 78, has called it one of his favorite adaptations of his work, and audiences have embraced the timeless tale for its ability to recapture the heart, humor, and power of childhood friendships. One of the reasons Stand By Me endures is that as the viewer grows and matures and changes, different parts of the movie reveal themselves, says Wheaton. The actors credit Reiner, who died in December, for the film's layered storytelling and authenticity. "That started with casting kids who could relate to their characters," Feldman explains. "Me with the pain and suffering, Will with the isolation, the thinker, the writer in his own head, Jerry, obnoxious, funny, hysterical, and Phoenix, who died in 1993, at age 23 from a drug overdose, was the pillar, the serious one. As troubled ringleader Chris," he says, "River was the one who brought us all together," recalls Wheaton. "All of us leaned on him in different ways." "Then there was the fun they all had on set. I never got to go to summer camp," says Wheaton. "But the summer of 1985, when they shot the film in Brownsville, Oregon, in Burney, California, may as well have been just that." Reiner made sure his young quartet forged real bonds through acting games and trust exercises. "To hear the three stars tell it, they behave when cameras were rolling, but at the hotel, it was a whole other story," recalls. Says O'Connell, "We threw all the pool furniture into the pool one night. We knew how to rig video games in the game room center so that we could play for free." Adds Wheaton, "That was me. All you have to do is get a mild electric shock and you get free credits. Weekends off meant river rafting, dune buggy, softball games, and movie going, all arranged by Reiner. He was a big kid, O'Connell said. Working on the film wasn't all play, though. There were moments where he made each of us cry. There were moments where he made each of us laugh, Feldman says of Reiner. Wheaton recalls one instance when they were filming the scene where Gordy and Vern flee from an oncoming train. Laughing, he remembers that after several half-hearted takes, Reiner yelled in his and O'Connell's faces. We looked at each other and just burst into tears, and I could see Rob go, roll, roll, roll. When we finished that take, we kept running. We ran to Rob, who hugged us and said, that was such a great job, smiling, O'Connell says. He got such a great performance out of us, adds Wheaton. Rob was safe. We felt safe all the time. We could make mistakes, and it wasn't a big deal. On December 14th, 2025, just days after the December Stand By Me tour stops, Reiner, 78, and his wife, Michelle, were found dead in their Los Angeles home. Their son, Nick, now in jail and charged with two counts of first-degree murder, pleaded not guilty on February 23rd. As the Hollywood community reeled, Feldman, O'Connell, and Wheaton lived up to their movie's title. When the news came around, I was so grateful that we were all reconnected because we really helped each other out, especially those immediate moments when it was shocking, O'Connell says, agrees Wheaton. It turns out that we really needed each other in those days. We had just before reforged the bonds that I feel like are going to hold us together for the rest of our lives. That was a real blessing. It was awful, but I am so grateful that we have each other. Resuming the tour this month and walking down memory lane without the man who made it all possible is going to be hard, says O'Connell. Feldman admits he hoped Reiner might be able to join them along the way. I was counting on it, Wheaton says, getting emotional, Feldman adds. The movie is called Stand By Me, and there's four of us. We can't stand by River because he's not here. Now with Rob missing too, it's really heartbreaking, but bittersweet because we do love each other. The camaraderie is there. The jokes are there. We have so much fun. But there's this looming thing hanging over us, says O'Connell. Now when we take this on the road, I feel like we have a duty to remind everybody who River was, who Rob was, what they meant, how much they helped us, how much they changed us, and how giving they were. Does that mean fans can expect more reunions? We'll drive up in our rascal scooters when we're like 80, Wheaton says with a laugh, and celebrated them. Back in the day, Wheaton, O'Connell, Feldman, and River Phoenix said the four of us were a unit. Through thick and thin, we have this instant connection, Feldman said with Wheaton and O'Connell in Los Angeles on February 17th. He said that of his Stand By Me co-stars. If you know, you know. The trio, posing with a nod to the movie's famous pie-eating contest scene, planned to party on tour, O'Connell says. The fourth seat. On tour, O'Connell, Feldman, and Wheaton set the stage with an extra chair, an homage to Phoenix and their brotherhood, explains Feldman. Paying it forward, O'Connell says he channeled Reiner while working on his latest film, Summer's Last Resort, with 14-year-old Violet McGrew. Callback cameo. Last month, Feldman appeared on Keke Palmer's The Burbs, reprising his role from the 1989 movie. Coming full circle, Wheaton recently recorded the audiobook for Stephen King's The Body, on which Stand By Me is based. We're like broken pieces that somehow found our way to glue ourselves back together. Corey Feldman. Remembering Rob Reiner. Losing Reiner has felt like a parent has passed, says O'Connell, who made his screen debut with Stand By Me. Everything I have in my life is because of Rob Reiner, my children, my wife, just everything. For Feldman and Wheaton, the This Is Spinal Tap helmer treated them the way few directors had when they were child stars, with kindness and respect. To be with a male authority figure, a father figure, who was our captain and our mentor, says Wheaton. That's when I fell in love with the storytelling and the make-believe. Chane Kaczmarek, coming home and finding love. The actress is having the ultimate full-circle moment as she marries her high school flame and returns to Malcolm in the Middle. I'm So Happy, by Brenton Blanchett. After years of shutting down rumors of a Malcolm in the Middle revival, Chane Kaczmarek was skeptical such a thing would ever happen, even when her on-screen husband, Bryan Cranston, reached out to her about it. He said, "Listen, we want you to know we're all kind of talking about this. Nothing is promised, but it might happen," recalls Kaczmarek, who earned 7 consecutive Emmy nominations as overloaded mom Lois on the Fox hit from 2000 to 2006. Bryan was really excited about playing Hal again. I think it's because he was killing so many people in those other shows. He just wanted to be back in the bosom of this family. About a year after that heads up from Cranston, the chaotic but loving sitcom family, including Malcolm himself, Frankie Muntz, came together to film the limited series Malcolm in the Middle. Life Still Unfair, premiering April 10th on Hulu. "We were thrilled to get together again," Kaczmarek, 70, says. Revisiting past connections has become a powerful trend for the actress. In 2024, when Kaczmarek returned to her hometown in Wisconsin for a 50th high school reunion, she reconnected with her former flame, lawyer Rusty Long, and last July, the pair quietly wed. Long, 71, was a senior and the big star of the tennis team at Greendale High School when he watched Kaczmarek appear in her first play, The Miracle Worker, in 1971. "We went out and I really liked him," Kaczmarek recalls. "But graduation comes and he goes off to college. I finished high school, he goes to law school. Then I went on to drama school. We both married other people, but I always remembered him." Kaczmarek welcomed 3 children, Francis, 29, George, 26, and Mary Louisa, 23, with ex-husband, actor Bradley Whitford, whom she divorced in 2010 and found success on TV. There's a Linda Ronstadt song, "I Guess I'm Going to Love Him for a Long, Long Time." For 50 years, that song always took me back to Rusty Long, the actress says of the 1970 track. "I still had the ID bracelet he had given me from the state fair." When Kaczmarek returned to her childhood home to celebrate her high school reunion, her best friend asked if she wanted to see Long again. She jumped at the opportunity. They went out to dinner as a group, and it was just immediate, Kaczmarek says. Long accompanied Kaczmarek home, said hello to her mother, and then we went into the living room that hasn't been redecorated since 1968, and it's just made out on the couch. Soon, Kaczmarek and Long, who has 2 kids, were spending 3 hours talking on the phone every night. They spoke of their favorite authors, movies, classical music, Nikola Rimsky-Korsakov in particular, and poetry. "I couldn't believe how interesting he'd become," she says. "I said to him, I could not make a better plan in my life right now than you." In February 2025, Long was visiting Kaczmarek in Pasadena, and they attended a Robin Burns theme gathering filled with bagpipes, haggies, and scotch in honor of the Scottish poet. The host asked each guest to make a toast, and when it was Long's turn, Rusty said, "I would like to toast to romance. I've been in love with Janie my entire life, and I want to ask her to marry me," Kaczmarek recalls. It was heaven. Her children approved as well. They loved him from the minute they met him, particularly because he's very funny, he's warm, but they were just happy that I'm happy. Shortly after Kaczmarek finished filming the Malcolm revival, she and Long wed in a Wisconsin barn on July 5th, 2025, the newlyweds are splitting time between the Badger State and California. "Part of me still feels like a high school kid," Kaczmarek says. "It's like a fairy tale." Malcolm in the middle grows up. Family ties. Muniz, Kaczmarek, and Cranston looked at pictures of season one. Together again, it was wonderful to be back with the gang, Kaczmarek said, with Muniz and Cranston, says of the revival, life still unfair. The word surreal is used all the time, but this was just a perfect example, said Jane Kaczmarek. Golden nuptials. Kaczmarek and Long's wedding in July 2025 included the children as well as Wisconsin stuff, like beer and cheese curds, and naturally their high school friends. This boyfriend from high school who I pine for was saying, I have been in love with you for 50 years, the bride said. It's amazing. It's a miracle story. Teenager Josh Long survived 7 days lost at sea with friend Troy Disgrohl. Now grown, he looks back at their odyssey in the ocean by Susan Young. Josh Long, then 17, and his 15-year-old best friend Troy Disgrohl were on their seventh day lost in the Atlantic Ocean, having drifted some 111 miles away from home in a 15-foot boat, scorched by the sun and parched by the salt water, when an angel appeared, or so it seemed. On April 30th, 2005, fishermen Ben DeGutis and Rick Smith spotted the boys out a distance, arms in the air yelling out, thank God. When they pulled Josh and Troy from their boat, Troy told Smith that he looked like he'd been sent from heaven. A media circus ensued, headlines around the country, a trip to Jay Leno's Tonight Show, a documentary. Nearly 21 years later, Josh, now a 38-year-old married dad of three, looks back in amazement and amusement at all the interest over two dumb teenagers. Meeting celebrities and stuff, it was fun, he says. I felt like I had a second chance at life. I didn't take it for granted. He remembers all too well what it was like adrift on his boat with Troy, surrounded by nothing but ocean and unblinking blue sky. The pair had set out off on April 24th, 2005, with no engine or sail to paddle a short distance from the South Carolina beach near their homes in North Charleston. Instead, a riptide sucked them away from the shore. The Coast Guard searched to no avail. Troy ate dozens of gelatinous sea creatures scooped from the Atlantic for some meager sustenance. They tried to resist the temptation to drink from the ocean and both licked condensation from the boat deck. Josh caught rainwater in his mouth. It was more just like a tease, he said. For warmth, the boys traded off the single wetsuit they had huddled together in all night. After a week avoiding sharks and enduring the elements, Josh sent up a prayer. Either let me die or let them be rescued. I didn't want to suffer anymore, he says. Back home, their families faced a grim and uncertain future. I didn't want to tell people that I believe my son was dead, said Troy's dad, a former firefighter and Navy veteran, Tony Driscoll. But my training told me we were probably not going to find them alive. Their rescue about 7 miles from Cape Fear, North Carolina, shocked everyone, even their saviors, DeGutis and Smith. At first, I didn't know what it was, and holy mackerel, it was two young guys in this tiny boat, DeGutis told People in 2005. Obviously, Josh does now. It's a miracle story. The teens' ordeal bonded them even as their lives diverged. Troy, 36, became a firefighter in Charleston, the area, and had a daughter, Mackenzie, 13, with a former partner. He's avoided the spotlight in recent years. I don't have a lot of free time and like to spend it with Mackenzie, he says. Josh lives near Charleston, too. He works for a general contractor, building gas station. He has served in the National Guard for 17 years. He shares a blended family with wife, AJ, 32, sons Joshua, 17, and Jacob, 14, from his first marriage, and daughter, Jasmine, who dreams of being an Olympic figure skater. And yes, he still goes out on the water to fish, though he adds with a laugh that he's more prepared these days. As for his child for friend, he says, we'll always have a connection. I don't know if anything will ever really separate us. Floating refuge. Troy and Josh in 2025 were set adrift on a small riverboat called Under Construction. Josh's life now The self-described country boy got engaged to his wife, AJ, in Charleston, South Carolina in 2018. He's raising three kids and serves in the National Guard. Healing journey. Josh, in 2005, with his parents, Eddie and Connie, shed 30 pounds during the ordeal. He and Troy then appeared on The Tonight Show that May. Fame was fun, but I tried not to get carried away. Josh Long. Flashback to 1990. Rob Lowe stages a comeback after scandal with bad influence. From People's March 19, 1990 issue, Bad Influence was filmed in L.A. in the summer of 1989 during the height of the scandal that broke when a segment of Rob Lowe's sex tape was leaked to the press. For a Brat Packer who was trying to recast himself as an artiste slash activist, it was humbling. There's no way that you can know how embarrassing it was, he said. No matter what adjective I chose, it would be trivializing it. With his return to the public orbit, besides Bad Influence, he's hosting Saturday Night Live on his 26th birthday. Lowe is giving his side of the story for the first time. These days, he's keeping a relatively low social profile, only popping up at Lakers games and running track at UCLA, where he works out four or five mornings a week. His own hot topic is how I have become a better person through adversity. I've learned the importance of admitting when you have made a mistake, when you have been wrong or made bad judgments, he says. And I learned that you must accept the consequences of your actions. That's part of being the man that I want to be. Normally, I just go off to Hawaii and say, phone me with the film grosses, said Lowe. This time, I'm going to be counting heads and lines. In the news, 1990, couples, actor James Garner, 61, played the father of the bride as his daughter, Gigi, 32, tied the knot with country singer J.D. Hart, 31, in Nashville. Monaco's Princess Stephanie, 25, revealed to French magazine Paris Match that she was dating real estate developer Jean-Yves Lefer, also 25, death. College basketball star Hank Gathers died at the age of 23 after collapsing during a game. We're both 16 through the feelings of that age. 16-year-olds tend to have big mood swings. Neil Patrick Harris on similarities with his Doogie Howser MD character. Star Trek's Born to be Wild, Nicolas Cage and Laura Dern played lovers in David Lynch's Palme d'Or, winning film Wild at Heart. In the movie, we enjoy turning each other on, said Cage. Putting on the spritz, supermodel Cindy Crawford, who was dating Richard Gere, sprayed Revlon's Halston perfume at the Bloomingdale's as the fragrance's spokesperson. People, My Good Morning by Lara Spencer. The Good Morning America star, 56, shares her early wake-up routine. 4:10, I'm built for this job. I love mornings. The early bird gets the worm is how I was raised. The alarm goes off at 4:10 a.m. and I don't hit snooze. I get up and start my day. I am quiet as a mouse so I don't wake up my darling husband, Rick McVee. Until 1 year ago, we rode into the city together, but he's retired now and enjoying the extra sleep. My first thought is my kids, son Duff, 24, and Kate, 21, check my phone to see if they need anything or sent me a note after I went to bed. My dogs, Reva and Betty, get up with me, and I let them out. They want a treat before they'll come in. Reva works me like a fine instrument. If you give half a treat, she won't come. She holds out, knowing the clock is ticking, so I give in. My routine is hot water with lemon. I drink it on the way to work. It's great to get the system going. I put it in a Stanley. I did a fun interview with Lainey Wilson, and she sent me a cowboy hat and a Stanley. I use it every day. I always give my husband a kiss goodbye. My mom taught us never to leave home without a quick kiss, and I love you. I put on vitamin C product and moisturizer, usually in the car. I give it time to soak in. As soon as I get to the office, makeup and hair starts and the layers begin. I'm stressing if I leave the house later than 4:45 a.m. I live in Connecticut and want to beat the traffic. I say good morning to my driver and he and turn on New York radio station 1010 Winds. On the way, we stop for coffee. Not a lot of coffee needed, only one. I have my mom's energy. I go back and forth treating myself to a Starbucks vanilla latte or a cup of coffee at the deli. I grab a banana and a high-protein yogurt. I don't eat before the show goes on at the air at 7 a.m. generally. I put the yogurt in the fridge and eat it on the way home. It's just my routine. I'm on the move. Her husband is Rick McVeigh. I don't wake up feeling grateful and happy. I do wake up feeling grateful and happy. Hopefully that's what I bring to the table every day. My personality is sunny, but behind the curtain, I'm extremely prepared. That enables me to relax and bring viewers the optimism I start each day with. New Fine, Spencer's That Thrifting Show, premiering March 19th on Freeform at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, is a tribute to a mom who died in February. When we were little, she'd take me to thrift shops and flea markets. On the reality show, contestants get $2,000 to redesign a room using thrifted or upcycled pieces. One last thing. Sam Heughan, the Scottish actor, 45, stars in the final season of Starz hit series Outlander. Last perfect day off. Today was lovely. I guess I'm doing press, but I went to a sauna here in Germany, which was incredible. I didn't realize you're supposed to be naked, so I've seen a lot of naked people today, and I'm all for it. Then I had a beautiful lunch. It was a pretty awesome day. Last game I played, chess. I've always loved it, and I got myself this board that you play on against people, and it's bots online. I've even got it on my phone. I'm 100% terribly competitive in anything. I have to win. Last time, I felt like a kid. I was in the chocolate factory here in Cologne. I had far too much, so I had a bit of a sugar rush. It was after ordering the hot chocolate with Tabasco and chilies. I think it also had tequila in it, which might have been part of it. Last time I stayed up too late, last night to be frank. I'm working on a TV show here, but I stayed up watching Sebastian Maniscalco and Kevin Hart's stand-up shows. It feels great to laugh. Then I'll be on the set and come lunch break. I'm like, oh my God, I'm on my 10th coffee, and I really should have gone to bed earlier. Last time I danced, probably at co-star Richard Rankin's wedding in Scotland. Everyone was dancing to the Red Hot Chili Peppers, a Scottish band that plays modern songs and bagpipes and drums. Listen, when bagpipes are playing, I'm there. You can hear one a mile off, I promise you. Reporting by Julie Jordan. Chatter, April 6th. Making my own television show is like making Thanksgiving dinner. I'm doing it with love, and this is what I'm serving. Michelle Buteau on Survival of the Thickest, two people. I'm patient, if nothing else. That's the classiest way I can say it. Sophia Bush on the status of the One Tree Hill revival to Entertainment Weekly. It feels like the conversation has shifted away from are there aliens to more like where are they and when are they? When are we going to see them? Ryan Gosling on New Heights. It was fun to go on Survivor 50, and I've never been an internet thirst trap before. If you get in shape, I guess people are nice at you on the internet. Mike White on CBS Mornings. I do not like buttons. They give me the creeps. I never wear things that have buttons, Gail King said at 92 New York. I'm 30, but I'm ovulating and horny, Doja Cat to Vogue. Star Treks, Love and Hollywood. Gwyneth Paltrow and her husband Brad Falchuk attended the New York Women in Film and Television Muse Awards, where she was honored in New York City on March 20th. Paltrow, the daughter of actress Blythe Danner, who was in the audience, and the late director Bruce Paltrow joked that she was one of the original Nepo babies. Adam Levine and his wife, Behati Prinsloo, packed on the PDA March 20th in L.A. at Clarence Night of Extra event, where Levine's band Maroon 5 performed. Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell brought date nights to Caribou Club Aspen on March 20th. Russell recently said that the pair's cabin in Old Snowmass, Colorado, is his favorite of their homes. Paul McCartney and his wife, Nancy Shovel, took a dip in the sea on March 20th during a holiday in St. Bart's as production continues on the upcoming four-part Beatles biopic starring Paul Mescal as the rocker. Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively made time for romance during a trip to Wales to cheer on Wrexham AFC, the soccer team Reynolds co-owns. What a week, Reynolds wrote on Instagram on March 17th. Pop reunion. Members of the 90s pop trio Wilson Phillips, Wendy Wilson, China Phillips, and Carney Wilson reunited to perform at the Aspen Snowball Gala in Colorado on March 21st. A return to Italy like a virgin again and again, Madonna captioned to a March 23rd Instagram video featuring her and Julia Garner in Venice, where they were filming an upcoming appearance on the studio. Music legend filmed her Like a Virgin music video in the Italian city more than 40 years ago. Best Trust, Andrew Garfield showed off a shaggy new hairstyle at a special screening of his latest film, The Magic Faraway Tree, in London on March 22nd. Country Spotlight, Lainey Wilson brought her signature cowboy chic style to the premiere of her new documentary, Lainey Wilson, Keeping Country Cool, at the XSSW Film and TV Festival in August on March 17th. Triple Threat, Girl Power, Ciara wrote on her Instagram after posing with Carol G and Alicia Keys at Carol's Concora Land Benefit Gala at Vizcaya Museum and Gardens in Miami on March 20th. A spicy night out. Gabori City and her husband, Brandon Frankel, stepped out to support Spice Girl Melanie Mel B. Brown as she celebrated her new global brand ambassador role with Revive Collagen at Soho House Holloway in Los Angeles on March 19th. Enrique Iglesias shared a rare photo of him and his wife, Anna Kournikova's four children, twins Lucy and Nicholas, Mary and Romeo, on Instagram. Heidi Klum and her son, Henry Samuel, 20, whom she shares with ex-husband Seal, flaunted their haute style at the New York City premiere of Project Hail Mary on March 18th. Lisa Kudrow's husband, Michael Stern, and her son, Julian, wore her plus two at L.A. premiere of The Comeback Season 3 on March 19th. A month after the death of Eric Dane, his first wife, Rebecca Gayhart, and daughters, Billy, 16, and Georgiana, 14, stepped out for the March 17th L.A. premiere of the drama starring the late actors Euphoria's co-star Zendaya. Scoop. All the Hollywood news you need to know, April 6th. Reality TV debacle. Taylor Frankie Paul's Bachelorette season is canceled as domestic violence investigation unfolds. Taylor Frankie Paul's Bachelorette season might go down in history as the most dramatic chapter of the franchise, though it likely will never air. On March 19th, shortly after TMZ published a 2023 video showing the secret lives of Mormon Wives star attacking her boyfriend, Dakota Mortensen, and throwing chairs at him in the presence of her daughter, Indy, ABC announced that her Bachelorette season, which was slated to premiere on March 22nd, has been pulled. In response to the news, a representative for Paul, 31, released a statement alleging that she had suffered extensive mental and physical abuse as well as threats of retaliation for years. Taylor has remained silent out of fear of further abuse, retaliation, and public shaming, her representative said. She is currently exploring all of her options, seeking support, and preparing to own and share her story. In an earlier statement about the TMZ video, Paul's representative said Mortensen is on a never-ending, desperate, attention-seeking, destructive campaign to harm Taylor. In his own statement, Mortensen, 33, who shares 2-year-old son Ever with Paul, responded to the abuse allegations, saying, "This is a deeply upsetting situation. I am unfortunately used to these baseless claims about me and our relationship, which I categorically deny. I'm focusing on our son and his safety and hope that Taylor will do the same." The decision to cancel the Bachelorette premiere came days after a source told People on March 16th that Mormon Wives had paused filming on season 5 due to some pretty serious stuff happening in Paul's life regarding her past. The same day, a spokesman for Utah's Draper City Police Department confirmed there was a new open domestic assault investigation involving Paul and Mortensen, who have dated on and off since 2022, separate from the 2023 incident in which Paul was arrested. She later pleaded guilty in absence to aggravated assault, meaning that if she complies with the conditions of the plea, her charge will be lessened or potentially dismissed. The Draper police spokesman said the allegations have been made in both directions in the ongoing investigation and that contact was made with involved parties on February 24th and 25th. On March 19th, Mortensen was granted temporary custody of Ever after filing for a protective order against Paul. At the next court hearing on April 7th, Paul, who shares Indy 8 and son Ocean 5 with ex-husband Tate Paul, will be allowed to tell her side of the story. As for the future of The Bachelorette, much remains unclear. According to Variety, in TMZ, ABC could lose tens of millions of dollars from The Bachelorette's cancellation, with each episode reportedly costing $2 million to make. Business litigator Devin McCray says ABC could make a claim that the production company failed to vet The Bachelorette well enough, and there might be some kind of insurance involved that could cover all or a portion of the loss. There's also a possibility Paul could face repercussions if she signed a morality clause. But since the 2023 incident was public record, McCray says it seems more like ABC decided not to do it because it had become viral. By Brian Tracy with Luke Chimin and Sean Mandel. Paul, when she was with ex Mortensen in an undated photo, the reality star with the couple's son, Ever, and her daughters, Indy, and her son, Ocean. Where the Mormon Wives stand, a source close to the cast says they're distancing themselves from Paul, with Desi Draper, Miranda McWhorter, Michaela Matthews, Macy Neely, and Layla Taylor. None of the women want to be associated with her. "It's a heavy time, and it's unfortunate," said Taylor Frankie Paul. What's next for the Bachelor cast? Could Taylor sue ABC? McRae says it's unlikely Paul has a case. The contract usually allow the network to decide to broadcast the show or not, he says. The talent usually isn't going to have recourse for that. As for the men on Paul's season, a source says Warner Brothers held a meeting with all but one of the 22 guys on March 19th, the same day ABC announced the cancellation. All the men were on call with Warner Brothers except for the winner, says a source. ABC pays licensing fees to Warner Brothers Unscripted TV to air the series. While the source says lawyers told them all their contracts will be in place for a year, the exact time frame for the contract span is unclear. The insider adds that the men felt betrayed because they all went into this to generally get to know Taylor. People pop take. The "is Chappelle Roan a villain" debate is wearing us out. When Brazilian soccer player Jeringo 34 claimed on March 21st that Chappelle Roan sicked her security guard on his wife and 11-year-old stepdaughter, making the child cry, after she walked past Roan's table at a hotel restaurant in Sao Paulo. It wasn't surprising. Since rising to fame, the Grammy winner, 28, has repeatedly begged the public to leave her alone and doesn't seem to care what her fans think of her. That was clear when she responded to the athlete's claims with a video shot while she was lying in bed, in which she insisted it wasn't her security who approached the young girl and promised she doesn't hate her fans. The internet appears to be split down the middle, but at this point, I don't care what actually happened at breakfast. No one should be harassed or disrespected by fans. But Roan needs to decide what's more important, being a successful singer and accepting that she's in the public eye or protecting her peace and walking away. By Rachel DeSantis. Leonardo DiCaprio is open to a serious future with girlfriend Vittoria Cerretti. After years of being one of Hollywood's most eligible bachelors, Leonardo DiCaprio may have truly found the one. A source close to the actor, 51, says his relationship with his girlfriend, Vittoria Cerretti, a 27-year-old Italian model he has been dating since 2023, does feel different and more serious than previous ones. He genuinely cares for her, the insider adds. They may not be ready to get married, but for the first time, Leo is open to a serious future. Their date night at the Oscars on March 15th, DiCaprio was nominated for Best Actor for his performance in One Battle After Another. It was a rare public outing for the couple. The source says DiCaprio is much more openly affectionate with Vittoria than his friends have ever seen him be with any other girlfriends. By Tommy McArdle. Who's that guy? Kevin Hart wants a redo of his peculiar new wax figure. Kevin Hart isn't thrilled about a new wax figure of himself. This is an attack. Who the F is this? The comedian, 47, wrote on Instagram of his not-quite doppelgangers recently unveiled by the Hollywood Wax Museum in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. I demand a redo. Hart's pal, Dwayne Johnson, 53, however, found it perfect, commenting, "Don't change a thing," by Kirsten Acuna. Zendaya reveals her wedding essentials to set the vibe. Bridal must-haves. As Zendaya prepares to wed Robert Pattinson on screen in the drama in theaters April 3rd, speculation about whether she has married fiancé Tom Holland, 29, off-screen continues. While attending the L.A. premiere with what appeared to be a wedding band on a ring finger, the actress, 29, discussed her wedding preferences with People. You co-star with Pattinson this year in the drama, The Odyssey in Dune, Part 3. What's something you've learned about him that would surprise fans? He's so uniquely who he is, and that comes out in the interviews. Sometimes I have no idea what he's going to say. I'm like, oh, here we go. What kind of wedding guests are you? I'm the kind of person that's like, what do you need me to do? Do you want me to grab something? Whatever you need me to do. What's one thing a successful wedding needs? Really good music. Dance is a universal language, and people need music to set the vibe and get the party started. What song will get you on the dance floor? I always say that Montel Jordan's This Is How We Do It gets people going. As soon as everybody hears This Is How We Do It, everybody's up. It works every time. Jack Smart with Alex Kramer. National Siblings Day is April 10th. It runs in the family. Celebrity siblings you may not know. These A-listers have talented relatives. Michael B. Jordan, 39, and Jamila Jordan Thuse, 41. The Oscar winner's sister is an Emmy-winning producer. Florence Pugh, 30, and Toby Sebastian, 34. The Dune star brother is a musician and actor. Timothée, 30, and Pauline Chalamet, 34. The Oscar nominee's actor's sister starred on The Sex Lives of College Girls. Chris, 44, and Scott Evans, 42. The Marvel star's brother, also an actor, played a Ken in Barbie. Scoop. Game show scandal. Bob Barker's beauties detail sexual harassment on The Price is Right. Former The Price is Right employees are speaking out about sexual harassment and discrimination on the CBS game show during Bob Barker's tenure as host from the 1970s until 2007. I noticed the guys were gawking at the girls, says Kathleen Bradley, 75, one of the show's models, known as Barker's Beauties. From 1990 to 2000 on E's new docuseries, Dirty Rotten Scandals, I found out this was more commonplace than I thought. Complaints allegedly led to a rule stating that no one could openly stare at a model for more than 10 seconds. Barbara Hunter, a former producer, recalls the aggressive mistreatment. I was in the elevator, and one of the men just stuck their hands right on my boobs. I had to push him away. Holly Hallstrom, 73, a model on the show from 1977 to 1995, tells People that Barker forced her early retirement, citing an issue with her weight. If you were a woman, she says, you are not going to be respected. Hallstrom says the bad stuff started when Barker became executive producer in 1988. It was a hostile environment, Hallstrom, on the working on The Price is Right. By Angelo Andaloro. Shocking legal drama. Kendra Duggar arrested after husband Joseph is charged with child molestation. On March 20th, Kendra Duggar, 27, wife of former 19 Kids and Counting star Joseph Duggar, was arrested on 4 misdemeanor counts of endangering the welfare of a minor and 4 counts of false imprisonment after investigators found locks on the exterior of doors in their homes in Taunty Town, Arkansas. Kendra's arrest came hours after Joseph, 31, who faces the same charges, waived his right to an extradition hearing in Arkansas, paving the way for his return to Florida to face unrelated charges of molesting a 9-year-old girl in Panama City Beach in 2020. The girl, now 14, alleged that Joseph asked her to sit next to him on the couch, covering them with a blanket, and manipulated her underwear and grazed her genitals, the Bay County Sheriff's Office said. The arrest marks the latest dark turn for the now fractured mega family. Joseph's brother, Josh, 38, was convicted in 2021 of possessing child sexual abuse material. His sister, Jill Duggar Dillard, said in a statement after Joseph's March 18th molestation arrest, "We strongly condemn abuse. We support the rule of law and hope that justice will be achieved." Christine Palasek. Passages. Baby. Singer Carly Rae Jepsen, 40, announced in March 17th Instagram story that she and husband Cole MGN, 41, welcomed their first child. Weddings. Days of Our Lives newcomer Connor Floyd married Carly Fry, 29, an esthetician, skin care expert in West Hollywood on March 21st. Deaths. Robert S. Mueller, 3, former Federal Bureau of Investigation director, died on March 20th at 81. Valerie Perrine, Oscar-nominated Superman actress, died at March 23rd at the age of 82. Actress Kiki Shepard, who co-hosted Showtime at the Apollo, died on March 16th after a heart attack. Legal. A judge has ordered the deportation of 5-year-old Liam Conejo Ramos, who was detained by ICE, sparked national controversy, and his family. The family's attorneys are appealing the decision. 1971 to 2000. 26. Buffy the Vampire Slayer star Nicholas Brendon dies at 54. Nicholas Brendon, best known for his roles as Xander on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, has died at 54. In a March 20th statement, his family said Brendon died of natural causes. The actor, who revealed in 2022 that he had been diagnosed with a congenital heart effect, has struggled in the past, his family said, alluding to his previous comments about depression as well as alcohol and substance abuse, but added that he has been optimistic about the future. "I know you are at peace," as Buffy the co-star Sarah Michelle Gellar wrote on an Instagram by Lizzie Hyman. Picks, the buzz on what to watch, read, and listen to this week. The comeback, top pick. Lisa Kudrow brings heart and humor to the comedy's commentary on AI in Hollywood. Lisa Kudrow is brilliant and hilarious as ever as she steps back into the role of charmingly self-absorbed TV actress Valerie Cherish for the third and final season of The Comeback, HBO's Emmy-nominated cult favorite comedy created by Kudrow and Sex and the City executive producer Michael Patrick King, which first premiered in 2005. Well, more than a decade has passed since Valerie won an Emmy at the end of season 2 in 2014. The show's exploration of her unwavering efforts to regain Hollywood relevance remains, well, quite relevant. After struggling to find work amid the writer and actor strikes in 2023, the endearingly oblivious Valerie takes a job as a star of a first-ever sitcom written using artificial intelligence and navigates backlash from showbiz peers and viewers alike. The cast features both returning favorites, Dan Buchanan, Sky, Laura Silverman, and Damian Young, and new faces like John Early and Abby Jacobson, giving the season a familiar yet fresh feel as it heads toward a satisfying and emotional conclusion by Jack Irvin. Spring into reality. Three new unscripted shows that have us buzzing. Love Aboard. Gabby Windy hosts a search for love aboard a fancy yacht. Age of Attraction. The show attempts to answer if age is really just a number when it comes to love. The Real Housewives of Rhode Island. A new locale, a new cast, and a whole lot of drama. Mike and Nick and Nick and Alex. In this action comedy, Nick, Vince Vaughn, a gangster, time travels back 6 months to team up with himself and save his partner, Mike, James Marsden, who is sleeping with his wife, Eliza Gonzalez. Nothing about that plot sounds great, but the movie is a blast filled with hilarity, well-choreographed fight scene, flawless needle drops, and quips that are generally funny. Brianne L. Heldman. March 27th on Hulu. America's Culinary Cup. This standout competition pits 16 highly decorated chefs against one another in a sophisticated kitchen battle that feels like the Succession version of Top Chef, complete with host Padma Lakshmi as the kinder, gentle Logan Roy, determining who will win it all. In all, in this case, is $1 million, the biggest cash prize in cooking show history, and bragging rights among the culinary elite by Stacey Lamb. People's Pop Playlist, the songs we're loving right now. Number one, Kacey Musgraves, Dry Spell. Witty as ever, Musgraves used her risque wordplay to describe how she feels about being single, lonely with a capital H, and like only chickens are getting laid. Number two, Chelsea Jordan, Picky Choosy. Jordan has a lot of love to give, and I'm not going to waste it. She sings on the soulful track about finding her worth and being selective. Number four, the Pussycat Dolls. Club song. The reunion of three original group members adds up to an infectious dance pop song, Begging for a Girl's Night Out Under the Club Lights by Daniela Avila. 40 years ago, The Money Pit made money. The comedy about a young couple, Shelley Long and Tom Hanks, trying to renovate a mess of a house wasn't exactly celebrated when it hit theaters on March 26th. 1986, but with a budget of $18.4 million and a gross of $55 million, it certainly didn't sink the box office. It's worth a watch on Prime Video for its dream pairing of Hanks and Long by BLH. Forbidden Fruits, a wickedly captivating ode to secrets and sisterhood movie. This horror comedy invests all its power in girl power for good and a little evil, too. Riverdale alum Lily Reinhart proves her scream queen prowess as Apple, the leader of a group, bound together by their fruit-themed names and retail jobs in a Texas mall. After hours, they become more coven than clique, mixing potions and casting spells that don't sit right with newcomer Pumpkin, played by a bold Lola Tung. Fresh off The Summer I Turned Pretty. Social media star Emma Chamberlain drives a twisted plot in her feature film debut by Zoe Little. Every Brilliant Thing. Daniel Radcliffe gives his most magical performance to date. Radcliffe is no stranger to Broadway. He won a Tony for Merrily We Roll Along in 2024, but ever Every brilliant thing is different. In this hilarious, heartbreaking, hopeful one-man play, he knows no strangers. Before the lights go down, he runs out around the Hudson Theater greeting audience members and asking them to participate in the show by shouting a line or even playing his love interest. The play itself, about a man who creates a list of life's greatest joys to counter his mother's depression, lasts only 70 minutes but lingers long after, which is absolutely a brilliant thing, by B.L.H. Paradise Official Podcast. With a season as stellar as Paradise's sophomore outing, this postmortem pod is required listening. Host Ryan Michelle Bath and Sterling K. Brown's real wife breaks down each episode with the stars and creators and infuses the chats with behind-the-scenes details and personal anecdotes, by BLH. Question and answer. Slater, the 29-year-old pop star born Catherine Grace Garner, embraces her roots with her new album, Worst Girl in America. How does this album reflect your St. Louis upbringing? The shot of me in the dirty room and beat up channels video with all the boys and then sunlight peeking through. That's been my life so many times, not even just in school. Why did you go for grungy, sleazy aesthetic? It's more true to me, I told everyone. This is going to be my ugly era. They say an actress always gets her Oscar when she does it. How did your family react to the album? My mom is like, I don't like when you smoke cigarettes and videos. I like when you're pretty and you dance, by J.I. Book of the Week, Python's Kiss, by Louise Erdich, short story collection. Short story enables busy readers and listeners to walk in others' shoes for bite-sized adventures without committing to an entire novel. Erdich's luminous tales follow a tribal newsletter editor, a grade school teacher, a folk singing thief, immigrant farmers, and many more wonderfully ordinary and excitingly singular people. Featuring artwork by the author's daughter, Azer Erdich Abe, this intimate and imaginative collection will stick with you for a long time. Best New Books, Downtime, by Andrew Martin. Weed plus Adderall divided by Lexapro equal to a moderately productive academic career. Concludes a struggling professional in the saga of millennial friends and lovers in the COVID-19 years. Martin's writing about sex, loss, work, family, and everything else is uninhibited as it is entertaining. I'm Eileen, and you've been listening to People Magazine, March 30th and April 6th editions. Thank you for listening to the Talking Information Center.